chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 8. I want to preach a message this morning I've entitled Sowing the Seed. And the Lord led me in this direction because of what our special day is today of putting these John and Romans together and a celebration, a very special day today of dedicating them as they go off to another country and to be used to put the gospel into the country of Mexico. Luke chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse number 4. It's a long parable, but we're going to read just a few verses of it, and then I'll remind you of its content as we look at it. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse number 4, the Bible says this, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down of the fowls, and the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, now we do thank you for this hour, this time that we have gathered together. And God, it's not by accident, it's by divine providence. Father, it's by your hand that we are here this morning. And Lord, though individually we could attribute it to different factors, getting up, being prepared, traveling and being here. Lord, you've gathered us together for a purpose here this morning, and we thank you for that. And we're here because of you. Father, there is no other reason that we should gather together but because of our faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did on Calvary in paying our sin debt and giving us the free gift of eternal life. And Father, it's our desire that this message that we have so freely heard, God, would be available to others through our missions program, Father, through our church evangelistic programs, Lord, and even now through this seed line ministry, that Father, you put your hand of blessing upon it, and God, may it bring forth fruit 100-fold. We pray that you bless the Word of God to our hearts. Challenge us, should there be one today that's never committed their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, never put their faith and confidence in Him and what He has done for them. Father, I pray you would speak especially to that heart today. And Lord, show them their need for forgiveness of sins, their need for the free gift of eternal life, that they might miss hell's fire and enjoy the blessings of heaven simply because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Bless the preaching of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus took his disciples aside and he taught them in a parable. What is a parable? Now, for those of you that are around church, you know what it is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the Lord Jesus Christ was very good at looking about him and picking out different real-life illustrations and teaching a spiritual truth by them. And here as he gathered with the disciples, this is the thought that came to him. He said, there was a sower that went out to the field to sow that seed. And of course, our imaginations, and we can visualize this, we're imagining a man back in that day without a John Deere harvest equipment and all that kind of stuff, a guy going out with a bag in front of him and his hands in it, and he's going out and casting the seed and putting it wherever it would reach by a hand's cast, putting it out there and sowing that seed. And the Bible tells us in this parable of the seed that it lands in four different places. One of those places, it says in verse number 5, is the seed landed by the wayside. You can imagine again the sower out there, and while he's sowing in the ground that's before him, as he sows it out, some of it comes off to the sides of the road, to the road that's been well trodden, to the paths that people have followed, and so that ground is hardened. That's the wayside. It says in verse number 6, and some of it fell upon a rock. He was not distinguishing which ground he put the seed on. He's simply sowing the seed. And wherever it lands, he's just trusting that it's going to bring forth fruit. And so some falls on the hardened, the trodden ground. Some falls even, as it were, upon different rocks. We know that it's not going to grow there, but he didn't try to ignore that ground. He just simply put it everywhere. It tells us thirdly in verse number 7 that some fell among thorns. And again, we can imagine the bramble growing by the wayside and by the stones that are there. And again, he is not distinguishing the ground he's sowing it on. He's just simply putting out the seed. He's doing his job. He's sowing the seed, and wherever it lands is where it lands. And so some of it lands among the thorns, and the Bible says the thorns sprung up and it choked it. And then fourthly, he says in verse number 8, it fell on good ground. And that which fell on the good ground, it says, sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. Now that's the one we rejoice in. That's the one we're glad for. But he couldn't have reached the good ground without reaching the stony ground. He couldn't have reached the good ground without reaching the wayside. He couldn't reach the good ground without reaching that which was upon a rock. It was not his responsibility to determine where he sowed the seed. His responsibility was to sow the seed. There are three things in the parable. There's the sower, that's the man that's sowing it. There's the seed and that which he is sowing. And then there's the soil. That where the seed landed. And can I tell you, the only constant variable in all of this is the seed. The sower may or may not go out that day and sow the seed. Depends on the weather, depends on his health, depends on conditions. He may or may not go out there. It's up in the air. The soil is not a constant because, as we've seen, there are four different kinds of soil. And so he can't distinguish which one it's going to grow on. He's just simply out there. There's only one thing that's constant in this whole story, and that's the seed. And so what I want you to see this morning, number one, is the parable of the seed. It's called, in the Bible, it's called the parable of the sower, and I'm not trying to correct that by any stretch of the imagination, but as we think about what we're doing this morning, as we talk about sowing the seed, I want us to think about the parable of the seed. Jesus is using a real-life illustration, something his disciples are familiar with. A man going out and sowing that seed. And as that seed lands on this four different types of ground, it has four different responses. Well, Jesus takes that earthly illustration. He takes that which is familiar to them and makes a spiritual application. And we find that as we go down to verse number 12 here in Luke chapter 8. We find in verse number 12, the Bible says in verse 11, first of all, let me say, now the parable is this, and he starts with the seed. The seed is the Word of God. That's the whole key to understanding it. The one constant. The one that's not variable. The sower and the soil. The one that's got the power is the seed. The sower can go out. The soil can be there. If there is no seed, nothing's going to happen. And so the Lord says, by using this human illustration, he says, now, here's what I want to teach you. The seed is the Word of God. And in verse 12, he says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, that lest they should believe and be saved. You know what the Lord's telling us? That not all witness bears fruit. Now for those of you that have witnessed for the Lord, I know I'm not telling you anything that's shocking you. Not every time you try to give somebody a gospel tract are they thrilled to get it. And so we have a fear of that one person, that one that's going to not want it or reject us because of it. There are going to be times that as you're sowing the Word of God, some of it's going to be by the wayside. Here's the thing. You don't know if it's the wayside. You don't know if it's the rock. You don't know if it's the good the thorns, or you don't know if it's the good ground. So what do? You sow it everywhere. Because it's not up to you whether it brings forth fruit. It's up to you whether you sow it or not. And so some of it, it says, goes by the wayside. You know what that is? Those that hear the Word of God but harden themselves against it and do not listen and do not believe. Now, can I tell you, folks, sometimes your witness is doing more than you think it's doing. Sometimes you invite somebody to church, you give them a gospel tract, you give them a New Testament, you give them a John and Romans, and the outward reaction to that is completely negative, and you think you're getting absolutely nowhere. Can I tell you, it's not you, and it's not necessarily the ground. It's the seed. Once you sow that seed, it's up to God to do something with it. I've shared this with you before, and I remind you, I was 18 years old, and I was going from Pepperdine University, where I was taking night classes, going back to the Marine Base in Southern California. And as I was walking, a man came by and picked me up in his car and drove me to the Marine Base and drove me right to my barracks. But as I got in his car, there was something very weird going on. He was listening to something on cassette tape, and you younger folks will explain that later. He was listening to cassette tape, and I later learned, I didn't know, it was Alexander Scurby reading the book of Exodus. Of all places, it wasn't the Gospel of John. It wasn't Romans, it was the book of Exodus. And again, I didn't know that at the time. I had absolutely no clue. But he's reading about the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness and overlaying it with gold and all this. And I just looked at that guy like, you know, what planet are you from? What's going on here? I don't remember our conversation, but I can tell you this. He sowed a seed. Because when he dropped me off at my barracks that night, I looked up into the sky. I don't know what I was religiously. I guess I'd say I was an agnostic. I think that's what my dad told me he was later. But I didn't think about it one way or the other. If there's a God, not a God, I didn't have any clue. But I remember looking up into the sky that night and saying, God, if you're there, I want to know about it. Can I tell you that night when that fellow let me out of his car, he probably thought he'd just wasted 15 minutes of his life. He probably thought, I just gave that Marine the gospel and I told him about Jesus Christ, and I'm sure he did. Again, I don't remember the personal conversation part. But I'm sure he thought, that was a waste. That was stony ground, or that was thorny ground. I don't know what that was, but you know what it was. It was good ground. That's been 48, 49 years ago. And I look forward to seeing that fellow in heaven. I have no idea who he was. He was a fellow Marine. He was a Mexican-American guy that had picked me up as I was going to the base. And he had never met him again after that. Couldn't pick him out of a crowd if I wanted to. When he gets to heaven, he's going to realize the seed he sowed that night led to a young man that got saved about 3 months later, led to the salvation of his mother and father, his sisters and his brother, led to some years on the mission field, and then 32 years at Bible Baptist Church, and two sons that are preaching, and kids that are in church, and a congregation. All that. It all happened because one man went out and sowed the seed. You don't know what ground you're sowing on, folks. And it might look like you just wasted some time. But you know what the Lord said in Isaiah 50? Look at Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:11. I'm just going to quote it, but it's better. We need to look at it. Look at Isaiah 55, verse number 11. Here's what the Lord said about His Word. Brother Chad told us in Sunday school from Psalm 138:2 that God has exalted His Word above even His name. God's given a lot of attention to His Word. This seed is a powerful seed. All right? It says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, here's what the Lord said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I sent it." You know what God says? His Word is always going to be effective. Now, it didn't say it would always bear fruit, because some of it's going to hit stony ground. Some of it's going to hit thorny ground. But those folks are going to get the gospel, they're going to get the Word of God, and they will not have an excuse when they stand before the Lord and say, "Lord, I didn't get it." He'll say, "Yes, you did get it. You rejected it." And that which fell on the wayside, the Bible says, is those which hear the Word of God and reject it. And a lot of folks hear the gospel, get the tract, get the New Testament, get an invitation to church, whatever it might be, however we get the postcards that we mail out in the wintertime to invite people here and advertise the church, as it were. They're going to get those things, and they're going to throw them in the trash. They're going to ignore them. You know what that is? Those by the wayside. It says there are those that are on the rock. Those that absolutely harden themselves against it. You ever had folks that the more you witness to them, the harder they get? Isn't that a tough one? Especially family members. You try to give them the gospel. I've talked to so many folks that come and say, "Pastor, how do I handle this situation? I've witnessed to my loved ones, my friends, whatever it is." and they're tired of hearing it, they don't want to hear it, and it's hard. There is a time where you kind of, and I hate to say this, and I don't, it's not going to, you have to back off a little bit. You have to ask for some prayer and thought. God is able to do what you've already done and use it, but some of them have just hardened their hearts. The Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those that believe not, lest they should believe the glorious gospel of Christ and be saved. So that there's seed that's going to land on the rock. There's seed that's going to land among thorns. Those are those that get it, and boy, they get excited. And those folks excite me. Somebody makes a profession of faith, trusts Christ as their Savior, bows their head, closes their eyes, says the words, and again, we don't know the heart, we don't know the sincerity, we just go by what we see in the outward, and they make these great professions of faith, and they start coming to church, and they are like a house on fire. I mean, they're at church all the time, and they're asking for this, and asking for that, and wanting to do this, and wanting to do that, and about 6 months later, you can't find them with a searchlight. They've fallen. The thorns have grown up. It's choked the Word. You don't know when that's going to happen. And I don't want to be the skeptic. I've been saved a long time, in the ministry a long time. I don't want to be the guy that sees somebody get saved and says, all right, sure you did. We'll just wait and see. No, I want to get excited with everybody that makes a profession of faith in Christ. And then make sure they keep in the Word of God. You see what the difference is? We don't want the thorns to choke the Word, so what do? You tear down the thorns. You scorch the thorns. You know what the thorns are? The cares of this life, the Bible says. The effects of this world. And so you get them to separate from those to the Word of God, and it makes a difference. But thank God it says, and there are those that fell on good ground. We are going to send 10,000 copies of John and Romans down to Mexico. And those that had their hands on them yesterday, and those of you that are going to pray for this today, say, I couldn't make it yesterday. That's fine. Don't feel excluded. You're here right now. We're making this dedication today. We're sending these out from Bible Baptist Church. You can see the front where it says John and Romans on it. On the back of the box I'm looking at, it says, Bidesville, Ohio. That box is going to Mexico. Am I right? That box is going down. The people down there, they're going to hand them out and know where these came from. And so you that are here this morning, you are part of this. We're sending this out together. There's four kinds of soil. So let's say if each one is equal, 25%, and we're sending 10,000, without a doubt, some, and let's be honest, some's going to fall by the wayside. Some's going to land upon a rock. Some's going to land on thorny ground. You say, what a waste. No, that's not a waste. God's Word will accomplish its purpose. But here's the great thing. And again, if this is 25%, 25%, and I know it's not that way. But if that, you know what that would mean? That would mean 2,500 people would get those if it's one of the four groups. 2,500 people would get those and believe on the Lord and get saved. Now again, those statistics might be askew. They might not be right. But let's say 10%. Of 10,000. Was it worth it to send 10,000 down there for 1,000 people to get saved? Goodness, folks, if you know, it's worth 10,000 to have one person get saved. But if we had 10% fruit from that, bearing good fruit, that would mean 1,000 people in Mexico are going to trust Christ as Savior by looking at that and the witness of the person that gives it to them and be in heaven when they die because of what we just did at Bible Baptist Church. We need to understand the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. It's a wonderful illustration that the Lord gave about that seed. The parable of the seed. Number two, turn over if you would to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We've already touched on it. These points will kind of overlap a little bit. We've talked about the parable of the seed. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Many of you are familiar with the verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is it talking about? The Word of God. That's the seed. The Word of God is quick and powerful. That's my second point. Not only the parable of the seed, but the power of the seed. It is quick and powerful. You know what's going to break down the skeptic's argument? It's not going to be your ability of apologetics. Some folks think, well, if I just knew all the arguments and knew all the answers to all the debates, you'll never know all of those. Many of us will never be intelligent or bright enough or articulate enough to talk to an evolutionist, to talk to somebody and prove to them scientifically or whatever, prove to them that evolution is false or whatever it is. But you know what can do it? The Word of God. It's better than our clever arguments. It's better than our systematic reasoning. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to read one of these things and it's going to contradict what they think and what they've been taught and what they've heard. And now they've got a dilemma. Which one is going to be right? And God's not going to let that one go to rest. He's going to make sure they think about it again and again and again. How many times have I heard testimonies of folks that have said, well, you know, I got a gospel tract or I got the Word of God several years ago and it took a long time before it bear fruit, but God never let me get away from it. He kept reminding me of it. That's the power of that seed. The grain of a mustard seed is pretty small, isn't it? But you know what the Lord said? If your faith is that big, you can move a mountain. That's the power of a seed. Look, if you would, in Hebrews, turn to the right a little bit to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Brother Robinson gave us this verse in Sunday school this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse number 23, talking about the power of the seed. The seed is the Word of God. And it is powerful, quick and powerful. 1 Peter 1:23, the Bible says this, being born again, you recognize that phrase. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the question is, are you born again? If you're not born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. You'll never get into heaven. Doesn't matter if you're a good person, doesn't matter if you joined the church, you've been baptized, you have to be born again. How are you born again? Well, 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And what is that incorruptible seed? Well, it says, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The more that I read, the more that I study, the more that I teach and preach the Bible, the more in awe I am of its power. It is the most powerful thing I've ever handled in my life. I've had an M16 A1 rifle. I've had hand grenades. I've had different things of artillery in my hand, but nothing compares to that right there. Nothing is as powerful as that book right there. Other things can do their damage, but this thing bears fruit. It changes lives. It changes hearts. It puts together families. It heals wounds. There's nothing like that book. And we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. When someone in this world, in our society, disses the Word of God, I'm not sure that's the right word, but they look down upon the Word of God, or question the Word of God, or are skeptics toward the Word of God, I just think this, you have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not going to be able to out-argue them or out-prove them, but I simply know this. You have no idea what you're talking about. This book is alive. This book is living. It's powerful. And it's so powerful, it can convert the soul of the hardest sinner. Don't be afraid when you see that big tough guy or that rough lady, and the Lord says to you, why don't you give them a gospel tract? Don't be afraid to do it. You know, I've noticed that the hardest people on the outside are the ones with the softest hearts on the inside. That's happened many times. Don't be afraid to put it out. It's the power of the Word. It's got the power. It's an incorruptible seed which can cause someone to be born again. It's the only thing that can cause someone to be born again. And that's why we send these down to Mexico, so that those folks in those remote villages can get the Word of God and hear what it has to say and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's powerful. Powerful enough to save. One other thought on its power. Look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This is kind of off direction of where we're aiming right now. But maybe you say, well, preacher, I'm already saved. I thank God that the Word saved me. I thank God that I heard the seed and it landed on good soil and I trusted Him as my Savior. Well, the Word of God's not done with you, Christian. It's not enough for it just to save your soul. It wants to do something more for you. And that something more is mentioned in John 17 and verse 17. Not only is the seed powerful enough to save, it's powerful enough to sanctify. John 17, verse 17. Jesus prayed this prayer, "Sanctify them through Thy truth." He's praying to God the Father. "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." You know what it is, folks? The more time you spend in and around the Word of God, the more unlike society you're going to be. The more unlike the world you're going to be. It will affect your thinking. It'll affect your attitude. It'll affect your affections. It will set you apart. That's what the word sanctify means. To be set apart. Well, the more we get of the Word of God, the more we begin to think differently than modern society thinks. Than the ideals that the devil is pushing through this chaotic world that we live in. That people are running from one new thing to the next new thing and trying to keep up on everything that's going on and be politically correct and politically savvy and all that stuff. The Word of God will sanctify you, set apart, and help you in your life to glorify Him. That's the power of the seed. So there's the parable of the seed. There's the power of the seed. And then thirdly and lastly, there's the place of the seed. And I want you to go back to the Old Testament and find a very obscure reference. I don't know if I should say it that way. The book of Haggai. All right? Let's see. When I find it, I'll let you know where it is. How's that? It is about four books back from the New Testament. If you get that blank page between the two Testaments and back up Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, it's the third book before, all right? I was close. The book of Haggai. Look at chapter 2, verse number 19. Look at the first phrase of this verse. Haggai chapter 2, verse number 19. Isn't this an amazing question? The Bible says, "Is the seed yet in the barn?" You know what the barn is? The barn is where you store the seed. If the sower was going to sow seed, if it's still in the barn, it's not landing on any ground. If it's still in the barn, it's really not going to do anything. I don't want to say it's worthless. It has potential. But as long as it's in the barn, it can't hit any ground. It can't accomplish or do anything. And so the question is this: is the seed yet in the barn? Can I tell you something right now? This seed is right now in the barn. All right? It's in the barn right now. It starts in the barn. Now, that doesn't mean you're a bunch of animals. I didn't say that. But the seed is in the barn. It doesn't belong in the barn. It wouldn't be any good a week from now for you to come in and see these still stacked right here. It would be a waste of time if you came in a month from now and we're still, "Isn't this a blessing? Look at what we did. Look at all these things we put together." It doesn't do any good sitting right here. It needs to get out of the barn. Gospel tracts don't do any good filling a gospel tract rack. You get that? We've got our tract of the month, our global warming chick tract this month, and praise the Lord, last I heard we had 250 and we're down to like 28, and I don't even know if we still got that many. That means you're taking them, you're giving out to your neighbors, to those you work with, different things. That's where the seed belongs. Not in the track rack, not in the church. This is not where it belongs going out. Even what you're getting here this morning through the preaching of the Word of God is not supposed to stop with you. Did you know that? And when you come to church on Sunday morning and you hear a message from the Word of God, a Sunday school lesson, it's not supposed to just hit you and then you absorb it like a sponge and it just all builds up in here. It's supposed to go out from you. The Word of God that comes into you is also supposed to go out from you. God, Paul commended one of his churches for that very fact. So the place of the seed is not in the barn. It's not on the dashboard of your car. It's to get it out to the world that needs it. It's to get it out. Look at one more verse with me. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. This is a different parable that the Lord is telling here, but it ties into what we're looking at. We know that the seed is the Word of God. We know that the sower is the one that gives out the Word of God, and every one of us are called to be sowers. All of us, from the youngest to the oldest, from the newest convert to the oldest saint of God. We are to be sowers of the Word. That's why God saved us. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in all the earth. We have our missions thermometer here. We put that up last week. And I know a lot of folks weren't here. The weather and sickness got the best of us, so we left it up for one more week. Our goal last year for missions was $60,000, and by the end of December we had $75,296. God did far exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. That's to go out. That's to go out. That's to go out. That's to go to our missionaries and help them as they serve the Lord. The gospel tracts are to go out. The Word of God is to go out. Where is it to go? Well, the sower went out into a field to sow. Look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 38. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38. Notice the first phrase. The field is the world. Where are we to sow the seed? Well, at this certain place or that certain... No, the world. Sow it everywhere. Sow it anywhere. You don't know what it's going to do. I remember years and years ago hearing the story of a Japanese doctor on the island of Oahu whose wife had left him, the family was falling apart, his business was going downhill. He was ready to commit suicide and he walked down to the beach at Waikiki and he contemplated what would be the best way to walk off the pier, what would be the best way to end his life and take his life. And while he was standing there thinking about it, a gospel tract that the wind had picked up from somewhere, probably someone else had discarded. Somebody else had gotten a gospel tract and didn't care for it and set it down or threw it down. And the wind, by divine providence, took it and blew it against that doctor's leg. And he reached down and picked up that paper and long story short, he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He became a faithful member of a church. God fixed his problems. God led him. He became a very ardent soul winner and a very faithful servant of the Lord. Why? Because somebody had put that track out in the world, in the field, and it got to the right place. It got to the right person. Can I encourage you in this area, these things, in the gospel tracts we've got, in the witness that you're able to give, that many other folks are not able to give. Many folks could not tell someone else how to get to heaven when they die. Many folks don't know to tell them, you must be born again. And so here we have a group of folks that have the right seed, and we know where the field is. All we have to do is be the sower. And so the question for you this morning, individually, every single person, don't look at the person in front of you, behind you, next to you, every single, here's the question. Will you be a sower? Will you put out the Word of God anywhere everywhere. There's no wrong place to put out the Word of God. Will you be a sower? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed.